Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
He would even tell us that sometimes he just wanted to be in that dark place. Like, even though he didn't want to be in that dark place, he wanted to be in that dark place.
Today on Focus on the Family Minute, Amber Leah shares how she helped her son, Ollie, walk through teen anxiety.
And it was really difficult as a parent. And I think the key for us was to not give up. I was just committed that I wasn't going to give up on him.
Yeah.
You know, we sought counseling. We looked into medications, different supplements, you know, changing his diet, making sure he got good sleep, a lot of practical things proactively, consistently is what helped to eventually break down some of these barriers and help us work through some things. And so for a parent, even when your child pushes you away and resists you, they don't really want you to go away. They do need you there.
Yeah. Hear more from Amber at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
Rest of the Story. It was summertime in Kansas City, Missouri. 9-year-old Wally was on the porch playing with the toys gathered there. Nothing could have fascinated the youngster more. His favorites were a wind-up car, which he could make go very fast up and down the planking, and a toy train with all sorts of cars between the engine and the caboose. Oh, yes, the toy train was his most favorite of all. But there was one thing about the toys on the porch. They were not Wally's. Neither was the porch. Neither was the home to which it was attached. The people who lived in that house, including the child who truly owned those toys, Wally had never even met. But this is the rest of the story. Wally had never wanted to leave the farm. It was all his father's idea. And with the money left over from auctioning the property, Dad had bought a newspaper delivery route. The paper was the Kansas City Star. The price of the route, $3 per customer, was $6,000. Wally's dad was demanding of his delivery boys, but most of all of Wally himself. While the other fellows earned $3 a week, Wally, for the same and sometimes more work, received nothing at all. "I feed and clothe you," was his father's excuse. There were two deliveries a day, the Morning Times and the Evening Star. It meant getting up at 3:30 every morning and venturing out in pouring rain or a blinding blizzard. It meant depositing each paper inside the storm door in damp or winter weather. It meant placing each paper under a brick when there was the slightest wind. To discourage his delivery boys from flinging their newspapers, Father forbade the use of bicycles, and so it was that Wally would trudge through his route of many dozens of houses carrying his papers in a sack, seeing all of those homes so much grander than his own and up close. Because the family was anything but well off, Wally got only practical presents for birthdays and Christmases, clothing and the like. Never any toys. Never any toys. So when Wally came to this one particular house on his newspaper delivery route, he would always hesitate for a long moment, gaze up at the wide porch and the big front door with a tinge of longing. Some very fortunate youngster lived in that house, Wally could tell, for occasionally during spring and summer mornings, the child's toys would be left out on the porch out of convenience or neglect. Marvelous toys, miniature cars and trains. So whenever he felt particularly bold, little Wally, in the dawn's early light, who had no toys of his own, would stop and play just for a little while and then leave the boy's toys in precisely the same positions in which he had found them. But someday, he promised himself, someday he would have a toy train just like the one that belonged to the little boy he had never met, even if he had to grow up to get one. Well, one day Wally grew up, and because he did, each generation of children ever since has had a happier, more wonder-filled childhood. For those who knew anything about him personally knew that Wally, the cartoonist, creator of the world's most fabulous amusement parks, Walt Disney, always had a particular passion for miniature trains. And that is so. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vili, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today I have Slo County Supervisor John Pashon on the show. We started by talking about energy. We're going to get into the budget. And after I told you that the phone lines are down and that you could text, I didn't see the text screen. We had two texts, and you can text at 238-5775. The first one says, Denmark is changing to nuclear. I didn't know that, but I did know their energy was too expensive under offshore oil.
And it is. The Europeans are 100% way far ahead of us. They're actually recycling used nuclear waste. And they're recycling it, and they're getting 80 to 90% to repeat and use it as fuel again. So, there are new different kinds of things that people can do to make nuclear more effective and efficient. And I think it's a great energy.
And then we have another text that came in. And again, I apologize for not seeing this earlier. Atascadero was master planned in 1914. To specifically accommodate the automobile.
There it is. Another example. The automobile was everything, and I understand what they're trying to do. The state government is trying to do, but it is a transition, and you still have cars. You're going to have electric cars at some point. You know, you've obviously got a lot of people, though, because of the cost of living in the state of California, that they're not able to purchase those electric cars. They have an automobile that uses gas and a combustion engine, and you're going to need that for the foreseeable future. And right now, that's a big chunk. The fuel for those vehicles is a big chunk of their overall family budget, and it's hurting these families. And so we have to figure out a way to get more oil into the system to be able to keep that going as we transition.
And one more... No, that's not one. I want to go into the budget issues now.
Okay.
Last Tuesday, you had a Slo County supervisor, and you had a couple things on the agenda where you were talking about what is going on with the Slo County budget. And for those that weren't watching, last fall, the county said they were facing a $4 million to $11 million budget gap. And they were able to get that down. Part of the way they got that down, they have cut jobs. They've cut over 200, but I think only they cut 200, but some of those were unfilled. Some of those
Correct.
Were given early retirement. How many people were actually terminated during that?
They were temporary employees, and I believe there were around 10, maybe 11 that were moved off of the payroll for the county. So we were able to go actually from about 2,861 permanent positions. We had 87 limited term positions, 440 temp positions, and we're down now to around, I believe, 2,600 current employees in San Luis Obispo County. We have 26 different departments. We do run over 700 different programs, and obviously we'll get into that. We did have 27 departments. We consolidated one department. So we're at 26 different departments, and we're a little bit over $1 billion budget. And so the goal here, you know, according to the plan that was laid out in front of us, we do have, by the way, to have a balanced budget when we approve it. The state law requires that all counties and cities have to have a balanced budget to be able to approve it. So there's only two ways when you have, you know, revenues that are down, you know, and you've got costs going up. There's only two ways to do that. That is to raise taxes or to be able to cut back on services. I've always been the one that says we need to cut. I don't support tax increases. And so across the board, you'll see, you know, that this year they're projecting perhaps as you said earlier, $11 million upside down deficit. I think we'll probably be somewhere around break even or $1 million surplus right now. And I don't want to say that too loudly because there's some people on the Board of Supervisors, as soon as you say there's a surplus, they think of ways to spend it and then put us into a deficit. So we'll need to continue to really keep an eye on it. There will be, you know, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, in a little bit about, you know, people that want to raise taxes on working families in the county. I don't agree with that. I don't think that, certainly not in this economy and right now what's going on with energy costs and all of that. And when I say energy costs, I includes, you know, your home energy, the energy you use at home and the energy you use in your cars or automobiles. And so I across the board, though, I think we're probably, you know, and this is what was talked about, was close to $1 million surplus. But, you know, there's a lot of room between now and when we adopt a budget in June.
And you had all the clawbacks that the different departments want to. And if you give all the clawbacks, you're actually going to be a little over $900,000 in the shortfall this year.
Yes. The 26
departments. What do you think about the clawbacks? Because I know that one of them is the sheriff's department.
Yes.
And I know that there's been a major increase in violent crime and sexual assaults and that type of thing. What do you believe that you're going to have to give some of the clawbacks and allow more revenue, for example, the sheriff's department?
So they did, you know, everybody stepped up a few years ago and they, you know, they maybe didn't hire some people if they had vacancies along those lines. And they would like to, you know, these are vital services. When it comes to public safety, I've always supported public safety. I do believe these jobs that they're talking about bringing back on board, because they did make a sacrifice a few years ago to bring back, should be the top priority. And so I would argue that the sheriff's office, the district attorney's office, probation department, and the fire department, county fire, all of those are public safety as I see it, and I believe they should be fully funded. That should be priority number one all the time for the Board of Supervisors and the County of San Luis Obispo. Public safety has to be job number one. It can't be down the list of things, you know, after all the other things. I think, you know, and that's where the priority discussion comes in. There's really good, you know, there's good facts and figures to be able to and talk about how those expenditures make a difference in people's lives in the community. Exactly what you said. You know, if crime is being up, and I'll give you my example, is, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, we had a lot of fentanyl overdose deaths in San Luis Obispo County. According to the sheriff, because of our secure border, there is less fentanyl in our county. And so that's a good sign. However, there's still fentanyl in our county. And so we need to make sure that that law enforcement, public safety, can respond to those types of things that are in the community. And I go back to, we had an issue with buying some surplus military equipment to be able to help them save lives of officers or sheriff's deputies when they're out there. And, you know, we had that issue a few years ago where we were in North County in lockdown because the gentleman that was living in the river had stolen a few guns and was shooting at people and shot a number of people, including a very brave sheriff's deputy. And those vehicles that actually we got in those surplus saved lives because they took some fire from that gentleman who was ultimately he was killed in the firefight with the sheriff's deputies and the different agencies that were there out in the vineyard in between Templeton and Paso Robles. But I will tell you that you know, we need to continue to make public safety job number one. We need to prioritize it, and we need to get them their the things that they need to do their job. It is not an easy job. They have one of the toughest jobs in San Luis Obispo County, and we can never forget that.
And I know you probably won't give all the money back, but right now they're saying you'll have $900,000 one way, but if you approve all the clawbacks, you're going to have a $14 million deficit.
Yep.
So you are having some tough decisions to
go over. We will definitely have tough decisions. And You know, one of our biggest, the state of California told us we needed to run these homeless programs, as you know. And then the state of California says we're not spending any money on homeless programs anymore. So, you know, at some point we've got to look at their ability to get. Now, we did go down last year in the number of people living on the street, our point in time count. You know, we were at, 4 years ago, back when Adam Hill was on HSOC, the Homeless Sites Oversight Committee. We had 1,600 homeless people that were the point of time count. We're now down in the 1,100 area. And so we are making a difference, but the kind of the cost here is, and a lot of this is driven by the state laws. They pass these laws that don't allow us to do certain things. So there's a lot of folks that are either in active addiction, on fentanyl, as we talked about, or heroin or methamphetamines or whatever they're doing, or they're having mental health issues that we need to be able to get them in. We built a really good facility down in San Luis Obispo County for drug rehabilitation. It's medically supervised. We need to be able to get people into that, and if they can't take care of themselves, we need to be able to commit them. That's where I actually thought the governor's program of care court would work. I don't think it's shown the results that it has, though I will tell you that we have some really good programs through our superior court. I was just at one of our specialty court graduations last week, where we graduated, I think it was four individuals that have been clean and sober for a year and are working a program. And actually the program does work, and it brought their families into it, and it's actually been a successful program. So I think there are good programs here, but I'm not so sure if you talk about the 23 different homeless programs that San Luis Obispo County runs, if they're all reaching their potential.
And I made a mistake on the amount. That's for 1 year. I'm going to give you the numbers very quickly. This was in the report put out by the county for last Tuesday. If there are no add backs in the 26-27 fiscal year, they'll have more than $13 million extra for the year. But if there are all the clawbacks asked for, it'll be $902,000 in deficit. Then in 27-28... there'll be $3 million in the positive, but if they give the clawbacks, it'll be close to $12 million as a deficit. In 28-29, $1 million extra if they don't make any changes, and $13 million in the deficit by the 28-29 fiscal year. And 29-30, it'll be almost $16 million. So there are some issues here with that.
There are definitely issues. And this is the struggle every year, is figuring out what the priorities are. And the priorities change. As you know, I was able to spend with Debbie and Lynn Compton six years in the majority, and I think we did a good job. And then the priorities changed because I couldn't keep the same priorities there. I got outvoted. But I do believe that the priorities reflect the priorities of the Board of Supervisors in the county, reflect kind of what we believe is the most important issue. And right now, I do believe public safety is an important issue. I do believe our roads are a very, very important issue. They're, really falling apart in a lot of places, and it was taken off. It was taken off of the priority list by the board majority, and it's one of the things that I think is a basic job of the County of San Luis Obispo.
And I watched that back probably 10 years ago or longer. John Pashon, Debbie Arnold, and Lynn Compton made a big priority to have law enforcement and roads right up at the top. And as soon as Jimmy was put into office, it was taken out. It was decided, no, that isn't, we're going to put that down on the list. And they made homeless. And a ton of money is going to homeless. I've heard it's... What are the numbers you're hearing for every homeless person?
Last I checked, it was roughly, this is between state and county spending, was $75,000 per homeless person.
They could...
A year.
It's ridiculous. They could have them in apartments for that money.
It's a down payment on a house, though we don't have many houses on for sale right now, but yes.
But the point of the matter is...
100%. You are 100% accurate.
A lot of what they do right now is the money goes to nonprofits. There's very little oversight. So government gets money for homeless. They give it to the nonprofits. They pay their staff. They do different things. There are some great nonprofits. Meals on Wheels, I believe it's one of the best nonprofits in this state right now. There are some very good nonprofits, but there's others that basically survive off the public dollar and do very little.
And I will tell you, I do think across the board, I mean, we up here in the North County, we have the El Camino Homeless Organization, ECHO. I think that they have done a good job of getting people into permanent housing. We have kept an eye on the numbers that they have. And last year they produced, I think, over 300 individuals and families that they were able to get off the streets and put in permanent housing. I do think, though, you know, because the nature of the folks that are still on the streets, right? Young men in active addiction or mental health, those are the ones that right now we're dealing with. You know, they're creating a lot of the issues we have with crime, and we have to be able to stop that. We have to be able to be a little bit tougher on them. And that's, to me, where the state has made big mistakes. They don't understand actually what's going on in the community. They think that, you know, oh, you know, we just talk them and give them a nice hot meal and they'll want to come in out of the cold. Is not the case. And I see this because Saturday mornings, if you're down near the ECHO homeless shelter, you have a lot of people that are coming up from the river to get something to eat and get some clean socks and to be able to talk to people. And you can tell who's in addiction, who's got mental health issues. And we see it all the time. And we're not able to help them because of the way the system's set up.
And throughout history, there's always been homeless. You're never going to have no homeless. It's never going to be completely gone. Do you remember, I think this was probably 2008, when there was a homeless woman, Sharon Osman, and she was killed on the riverbank in SLO?
I do, yes.
And Sharon had no drug addiction. Sharon was very kind. She was a well-educated woman from a family of primarily university teachers. I'll come back. We're going to take a break for our sponsors. I'll give you a little information about her and why some of the things she was never going to get off the homeless count.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A choppy trading session with the major averages attempting to climb back from earlier declines, but still ending in the red, but off session lows and extending losses for the week as the price of oil continues to surge, reviving inflation fears. U.S. crude rising around $94 a barrel. Shares of Micron Technology fell nearly 4% despite the memory chip maker delivering blockbuster second quarter results, along with outstanding guidance for its third quarter. Investors were likely taking the opportunity to lock in some profits. Most all of the 11 S&P 500 sectors were lower, with energy the big winner. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Chevron, and American Express. The Dow decliners, Boeing, McDonald's, and 3M. The Dow falling 204 points, the Nasdaq lower by 62, S&P 500 down 18. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Do you worry about where to take your car for repairs? Who you can trust? Mike and his team at the Autobahn are a safe bet. Located in Templeton, behind the donut shop, just off Main Street. They service Mercedes, BMWs, Volkswagens, Porsches, and Audis. And the Autobahn is certified in those cars and in repairing Land Rovers, Volvos, and Mini Coopers. Call the Autobahn, 434-2200.
Are you prepared? Uncle Ed's Outfitters is offering basic to advanced training. They are licensed CPRA, NRA, USCCA, and offer specialty classes in firearms assembly and maintenance courses. It's good to own a firearm, but it's a perishable skill, and you need to be prepared to use it. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Find us at AtascaderoGunShop.com. Uncle Ed's Outfitters in Atascadero on South El Camino Real in the Oaks Plaza.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vili, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. I'm here with John Pashan. We're discussing a number of issues in the county. We were just discussing homelessness. But I was going to explain, when Sharon Osmond died, I did some investigating and actually was able to track down what had occurred with her. And the really sad thing is she came from a nice family. She was married. She had four kids. And she suddenly became very, very schizophrenic. She family had money. They would have paid for an apartment in a heartbeat. She wanted to sleep outside. She did not want to go in anywhere. She didn't hurt anybody. She didn't do anything wrong, but she had some serious paranoias. And the issue was, suddenly the government gave her a massive amount of money because she should have been getting some assistance for a very long time. And she got this big chunk of money, and she ran around giving it to homeless women with children, pregnant women who were homeless. And she didn't give it to the drug addicts, but she'd go buy like a box of donuts and set it out for everybody that was homeless to eat from. She would buy them food. She became very, very kind. And a couple men then went down to the riverbank to and killed her. The creek that goes through downtown SLO. That's where she slept, by the creek. But there was nothing. All the money in the world wasn't going to do anything. She wasn't a danger to herself or others. They could not take her into custody. She wasn't harming anybody. She didn't do drugs. She did not drink. She didn't have any of those issues. There was nothing that money could have done to correct this. We also have another text, and this goes back to the county budget. How about leading by example? And have county supervisors take a pay cut with the county budget deficit. The San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors approved a 20% salary increase in May 23, raising their pay from $90,000 to $114,000 by June 2025. The raise is implemented in three phases, aiming to align with salaries with market rate and improve future candidate recruitment.
I voted no. What more can I do?
And you don't take the raises anyway.
No, I when I run for this office during the term, I don't. That the last two terms, I did not take the raises during the terms. No.
So you are watching the county budget. Did Jimmy Paulding end up taking the raises?
I don't know the answer to that. I know he voted yes for it. I think he said something about not taking it. But, you know, I don't know the answer to
that. Can you check into that for me?
I can, yeah.
Because I would like to know. And I'm going to tell people now, in case you're trying to call in, we're having some new equipment installed. And so you cannot use the phone lines today, but anyone can text. The text line is 805-238-5775, 805-238-5775.
And I will tell you that I've voted no on every pay increase for the County Board of Supervisors in my 10 years on the board.
Yes, you and some others, but again, the board majority changed.
Yep.
And look, we went from 90,000 to 114 for salaries after the change of the board majority.
Yeah. And I will tell you that the other thing that from my standpoint is, you know, we do have a number of people. We have, you know, 2,600 folks on payroll that do a lot of these programs, 700 different programs. I do believe that there is some duplication there. And I think that that's where we've been bringing in some accountants to do top to bottom research. KPMG's been the company we've hired, and they actually are finding duplication, and we're able to clean that up into cross departments, 26 different departments.
Is that the focus moving forward?
It is.
And you're going to have a number of meetings coming up looking at ways to reduce the budget further.
Correct. We it's not like when we balance a budget, we don't sit there and go, okay, we did a good job, we're done, we can just keep going. We have to be able to, because there's so many programs that the state of California mandates that we do, and then they pull the funding. IHSS is a prime example. In-home supportive services, great program, works really well with people, and the state made us set it up, and we set it up, and then they're like, oh, well, this year we're pulling all the funding for that. You need to pick up that. Well, that means that they want us to raise taxes on people. We can't afford in our county to raise taxes. The state of California has the highest poverty rate of any state in America. We can't keep doing this to working families.
And one of the things they also do is the county looks at the budget from the year before and other years to make their determination on the new budget. And so do a lot of other agencies. And I'll give you an example on one that's in trouble right now. The San Luis Harbor District. I read their budget, and one of their things, they put up their top like 5 or 10 revenue sources through property tax revenue, and they put in Sierra Vista Hospital. And I'm thinking, why are you, Sierra Vista became a nonprofit. There's zero revenue. So they planned their budget around tax revenue from Sierra Vista without noting that it was not going to happen. John, we have another text message coming in. You can text to 238-5775.
We need to name the text line something, like, like the Vile Motors Corporation text line.
Does California really have a chance to elect a Republican governor?
In this particular time frame, right now, there are two kind of leading Republicans that are running. And then you've got maybe two or three, but you've got so many people on the ballot that if they each take a small portion of it, you could be the nominee or two nominees with 22% of the vote. So, yes, it's certainly possible.
And so if the two Republicans go to the general election,
uh-huh,
we'll end up with a Republican governor.
That we would have a Republican governor. Yes.
And who are the two leading candidates?
Well, Steve Hilton, who was here in our county over the weekend out in Santa Margarita and did an event. I did not attend that, but I understand it was a good event put on by the Paso Robles Republican Women. And then Sheriff Bianco from Riverside County. And those are the two leading Republicans in the gubernatorial race right now.
And do you like both of them?
They're both good people. I think, they're good representatives of the Republican Party. They believe in smaller, more efficient government, lower taxes, more personal freedom. And I think that that's, and now the state party, so the California Republican Party Convention is coming up a week from this Saturday. And they'll probably be endorsing somebody, so we'll see who comes out of that endorsement.
And are you going to that event?
I think I am going to go to that event. I am a member of the California Republican Party, so I will be going. That's one of those jobs 30 years ago that I was the executive director of the state Republican Party.
And let's move
now,
on.
Now we'll see how many texts come pop up about how evil I am.
And again, I think North County is more conservative than liberal.
Well, if you look at the presidential races here in the first supervisorial district, which is Templeton, San Miguel, Chandon, Paso Robles, and Lake Nacimiento, it's the only district in the county that voted in the general election for president of the United States, voted for Donald Trump the last three times.
And again, for those that don't know, we are taking text messages. Our phone lines will not be working today, but we're taking phone messages at 805-238-5775. We have another one. If you want to cut money, look at the Sheriff's Department. undersheriff's wife, four chief deputy, and a slew of commanders.
No. They have a really tough job. It's one of the toughest jobs, I think, in San Luis Obispo County, as well as all of law enforcement, all of the public safety sectors that we talked about, the fire department, San Luis Obispo County Fire Department. What an incredible group of people. And so I think job number one for the county is public safety and public protection, and I'm going to continue to be supportive of all they do in our county. But I appreciate the sentiment about it. I understand you want us to look at it, and I know that I can tell you this, those under sheriffs and those folks every day look at costs and where they're, you know, where they can take make changes and be able to save money. And I know that's with the district attorney's office, with probation, and also with the county fire department.
And let's go on to the slow cog tax. And for those that don't know, slow cog is in the for decades, most of there was ways that roads were fixed. A lot of it had to do with different tax revenue, and cities and the county did a pretty good job. But over time, a lot of that money has been diverted other places, and the amount of roads getting fixed has gone down. And they're regularly, cities and the county are trying to raise taxes, and they regularly say, we're going to put this into roads. And very often, they don't seem to do it. But there is another slow cog effort to get a half-cent sales tax. But this time, they said they'd give a percentage to each city. So then the cities all voted. Are they going to come out in favor of the sales tax? Everybody came out in favor of it. Not everybody in every group, but they had enough voters to make it happen, except for Pismo. And Pismo said, no, we are not supporting it. What do you think about the way they're... Do you support it first?
No. It was on the ballot 10 years ago, and it failed. They needed a two-thirds, and it failed, I think, by 700, 800. The voters in my district, in the first district that have elected me to be their representative, were not supportive of it then. They voted no on it in a big majority. I believe it'll be the same thing this time. I do not believe that it is something that I can support. I haven't seen the final language, but I will tell you that in the past on these sales tax increases, I have not supported them, and I don't plan on supporting them.
Are you on the slow cog board?
I am on the slow cog board, and I voted no when it came before the board, but, you know.
How many people on the board voted no? How many voted yes?
I believe there were three, so Supervisor Moreno, myself, and then Carla Wixom, the mayor of Morro Bay.
Yep. So they had three no votes?
Yep. Yeah, we lost. Well, I'm getting kind of used to that, I think.
Well, I know you're getting used to it, but I think there's a fair chance that you will not have the board majority you had before.
You're saying there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Is that what that's called?
Yes.
I do think there is... we're definitely going to get someone new in District 2 because Bruce Gibson is not running.
Correct.
And the Verdin...
Jimmy Paulding.
Adam Verdin.
And Jimmy Paulding.
Jimmy Paulding race.
In the 4th District.
Is very, I think it's going to be close, very, very close. It might not be close, but I think that there's a lot going on there.
It's a very lively race down there if you're not following it. And they're just going to be starting with their voter contact program. So you'll start to see paid media. We'll probably see it all over, you know, radio, television, you know, and or anybody that still watches television. And then online, you'll see a lot of digital advertisements and then mail. So I expect they're all out walking precincts and going door to door. So they're doing activity in the community. So, yeah.
I find it very, I find political season very wild. I do want to ask
it's
you.
It's a lot of fun, though. Don't you think it's fun?
It's great for a reporter.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the people best. Acting badly.
And they give you a new story every day. Sometimes two and three stories a day.
I have another blockbuster coming out about the election. I'm not going to tell everybody yet, but there's another very big issue that's going to come out. But there's always someone that does something wrong. They take money and spend it incorrectly, or they make a false claim about somebody else, or they don't do the right thing with their money. It's just, or they use government resources to run their campaign. Every election, somebody it's repeated, though. They put their foot in it. Somebody else puts their foot in it. Again, it's great for reporters.
It's wonderful. It's a wonderful time. I love campaigns.
Well, you are a campaign consultant.
I do some races, yes.
And watching
but
these races,
not in San Luis Obispo County.
Watching these races, do you find them? I find it very interesting this year. And again, they're right back to the darn oil thing. Oh, you know, I stand for a resolution. There are several candidates doing that, which I found very fun. We're going to take our break, a word from our sponsors, and we will be back with the last segment with John Pashon. If you want to text in when we come back, 238-5775.
Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online. DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finish work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
I recently had the best visit with Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists. He fixed my hearing aid, gave me an efficient hearing test, and adjusted my hearing aids using computer software. I've had my hearing aids for several years. I never felt they were working properly until Peter fixed the issues. The clarity and volume are wonderful now.
If you have hearing aids or need a hearing aid evaluation, call Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast, 805-460-7385, 805-460-7385.
Welcome back to Sound Off. This is our last segment, so if you want to text in, the text line is 805-238-5775. I have Supervisor John Pashon on the show. We just got another text. What's one project or issue in District 1 that you're most excited about right now that people should be paying attention to?
Well, I will tell you that water is obviously one of the biggest ones, figuring out how to recharge the basin. And be able to do that. I think the biggest project that I'm actually really excited about is stock ponds and allowing the state, getting the state to allow local farmer and cattleman to have stock ponds to be able to capture stormwater and be able to use that to recharge the basin on their property. Right now, it's much tougher to do, but for people to have these ponds and not letting all that water wash up the Salinas River and go into the ocean, but to be able to keep some of it on the... So working with the legislature and with RCRC, which is Rural County Representatives of California, to try to make that happen.
And now we have another text. In January, when you get the board majority back, what will be your top three priorities?
Well, I think the number one priority is to change the priorities of a Board of Supervisors and make sure that roads is put back on, as well as public safety. I also think we need to become a little bit more friendly when it comes to across the board business and being able to support our small businesses and grow businesses and make San Luis Obispo County more affordable for small businesses to be able to do their job. 90% of our jobs are created by these small businesses. You know, we don't have a lot of large corporations here. We do have a lot of smaller businesses that create jobs, and they do a great job, and we've got to make it easier for them to do their jobs so they can grow their business, create jobs, and be able to put our folks, our young people, after they get out of high school or college with good high-paying jobs so they can stay and live here. That's one of my biggest fears is, you know, a lot of our kids are graduating from high school, graduating from college, and they have to leave here because they can't find a job.
Okay, the next text message. John, glad to hear your voice. Dale.
Dale, good to hear your words.
And again, we're only taking text messages today. The phone lines are down, but you can text 238-5775. We have another text message. I live on Grove Street in a cul-de-sac. American Asphalt has signs all over, but our street, Blackburn and Pacific Avenue, saying we cannot drive on these streets March 23rd or 25th. How do we get to work, and do we have to park all the way down on Vine?
Normally what you're going to have to do is, yes, you're going to have to park on a street where you can walk on the sidewalk or on the side of the road to get to your automobile. Sorry to say that's the case, but I'll get this information, and I've got your phone number here, and we'll get somebody back in touch with you.
And I'll give you the phone number when Beautiful. We're not on the air. So
you got
I'm
it.
Not giving it out to everybody in town. I want to ask you about San Simeon. So San Simeon, for those that don't know, San Simeon is, they put it into districts. It's got five districts. It only has like 230 voters. And you ended up having districts where no one wants to run. And they should have never put a place that small into districts, but their attorney said they had to. And since then, they had some issues with fraud and different things, and there's real issues with their money. They can't run it themselves. There's only three board members running the place right now, so they have to have a unanimous vote on everything. One of the board members is thinking about leaving, but they got to go through LAFCO, which is a county agency. What does LAFCO stand for?
A local area formation.
And they are having them jump through a lot of hoops, a bunch of money going to consultants. I think they've spent over $300,000 already. It's been about a year. The county is primarily running it. And most of the money is just going to consultants. The county's going to have to take it over. Because one way or another, the county is going to take it over because they're going to quit. But if we're spending $300,000 for consultants, even though the county's going to have to take it over, what could be done to stop the bleeding?
Well, these are very small. Like this one's a CSD, Community Service District.
Yes.
And it's really small, and it does not have a base big enough to be able to support it. The one that that I think works pretty well right now is the Templeton CSD, and they actually have fire services, and they have a park, so they have a park and recreation, and they cover some services there, as well as the water and the sewer. And they've done a fairly good job, I think, and they're good people that are trying to do the right thing for the community. But that's, again, a community of like close to 9,000 people. You know, you have one in San Miguel that's having some issues right now just because they have a 2-2 vote on there and they can't move a lot of stuff forward right now. But some of these, you know, I remember the one in Cayucas, there was a fire services service district set up, and then they had to come back to the county and say we can't afford to do the fire services, and so the county had to take over the fire services. This is, you know, something across the board that I think we'll need to look at for some of the smaller CSDs. We're not, you know, when it comes to public safety and like the fire services in Cayucas, it's so one of those things that we have to do, so we have to figure out the best way to do it. But it's going to cost money, and it does cost county money.
And what I was asking, and I know it, let me explain, it's always more money. Like when they took the APCD down, it went up 10 times, the cost of running it. When the county was running it, they already have the staff, they have the expertise, they have the attorney, they have the office. When you're having to have a whole new government, it's much more expensive. But yeah, what can you do to get...
The example would be is the Integrated Waste Management Authority.
Yes.
Right? And which you know more about it than I do. But we did vote to remove ourselves from the Integrated Waste Management Authority. I think we were out of it for a year, and then Supervisor Gibson wanted to go back into it. And once again, we were spending money on things that we could actually do ourselves through county government.
And with San Simeon, though, is there anything that can be done to get this through quicker? Because right now, if you spend $300,000 on consultants to tell you what they think is going on, mm-hmm. and you're going to have to take it over anyway. One more person, one lady's leaving. You're going to be taking this over with or without, because they can't get three votes. It's over at that point. Is there anything you can do to stop giving the money to the consultants and just take it over and get it? You're already running it, basically.
We are, yeah. And so there's a process. It has to go through the process. I'm sorry to say, but it is government. It's a separate government entity, and for them to disband, we have to actually do our due diligence to be able to do that. Because we're going to find, and this is always the case, they're going to find some things that just nobody knew about, and then it's going to be a complete headache. So we've got to take the time to do it the right way.
I think there's already a lot to know about. This is just...
There is a lot to know if you read Cal Coast News.
It's a water and sewer district. Mm-hmm. And there are some things that have to be done, and they really they have to move their sewer.
Yep.
And I think there's a way to merge it with other areas if they can work it out.
Yep.
But right now they can't even work it out because they don't have enough people.
They don't have
people.
The number of members.
Yeah, so it's uh-huh. it's yeah. there's things they're not doing legally right now that the state wants them to do,
and a lot
but
of
they
times,
can't fix it.
A lot of times, you know, there's costs involved, right? So they think, oh, if we take it over locally, it's going to be cheaper to run. Well, that's actually not necessarily the case. You know, yes, it's a government that's closer to the people, so they should be more responsive, but it ends up costing more.
It's a highly Hispanic...
service. It's a lot of people that are in the service industry.
Yes, and there isn't... I don't think having local government there makes it more accessible.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of undocumented immigrants that live there and work in the service industry, and it's... I don't see any reason to have a service district when you can't even get anybody to run for it.
It's really tough, too. And we're finding that in a lot of places right now. It's really tough because of the way it is.
Welcome to Sound Off. Okay, I thought the phone lines were started back up.
We got all excited.
Okay, I thought we were getting a call into the phone line. They've been down today, but I thought it restarted.
No new texts?
No new texts, and just the...
On the VLE text line?
Yeah, and I don't know if I answer that phone if the text doesn't work then. Let me try one more time. Welcome to Sound Off. I am not sure. The phone's not working. I'm not sure if it does, I'm not sure what's happening.
Oh. Well, but, I think the text has worked really well today. We've gotten a number of texts, and we've gotten... Sometimes when I come in here and talk about other things, we get nobody to call in. So this is actually pretty good today.
And I think people prefer doing text rather than the other.
I think so too. People are used to it now, and they do text. So I get a lot more messaging going on, even campaign messaging. I'm getting 10 messages a day from different campaigns wanting money.
John, thank you very
appreciate
much for
the
coming on today.
You got it.
And informing the public of what's going on.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.